paper for all of you. It'll be in the guest box under Michael's name in just a few minutes. Imagine, if you will, that the greatest living scientist of our times, I don't know who your choice would be, Stephen Hawking, perhaps. Let's take Stephen Hawking. If he were to come out and say, I absolutely have proof of life after death. I have photographic proof. I have live testimony. I have eyewitness accounts. I have it all. There is life after death. When you die, you don't die. You go right on. Same psyche, same personality, same problems, if you will. And those people who die are still here in an extended part of our reality. We just can't see them. It's the invisible part of the universe, so to speak. They're here. Not all of them who have died are still here, but many are. Well, that happened in 1874 when Sir William Crookes, probably the greatest scientist without question of that age, came forward with exactly what I've just described to you. And what happened to him afterward, and what has in fact been in place for well over 130 years now, is the most vicious, ruthless, brutal suppression of this data that you can imagine, and fighting it, not single-handedly, but certainly in the forefront of those very few who have been pushing it, is Michael Roll. And I'm very honored to have Michael back on the program. Welcome, Michael.
Jeff, thank you very much for inviting me back at this crucial moment in history, as far as I can see. The way things are going in the Middle East is absolutely terrifying.
It is. It truly is.
That introduction you gave was very important regarding Professor Stephen Hawking, because, as you know, he follows Einstein, fanatically follows Einstein's
exactly.
theory of relativity. And let me quote to your listeners here what Albert Einstein thought about survival after death.
Mm-hmm.
This is April the 19th, 1955,
right.
in the New York Times. I don't believe that the individual survives the death of his body, although feeble souls harbor such thoughts through fear or ridiculous egotism. Now that's what orthodox science is following across the whole world, across every single discipline. So you see what we're up against, Jeff. It's a fantastic, it's not a conspiracy theory what we're up against.
Right, no.
It's a stone-cold conspiracy fact.
That's an extraordinary statement from Einstein, who literally, I guess, jumped on top of the huge pile of people who have been beating up Sir William Crookes for a long time. Now, Einstein was almost a contemporary as a young man of Crookes, but not quite. And I wonder if there was some, I don't want to sound trivial, but some jealousy there of Crookes' work. Einstein had to be aware of it.
Yes, 1905, Einstein's theory of relativity came on the scene. Yeah.
Right, right.
And that really did away with the ether, you see, which in effect did away with the spirit world.
Now,
let's be surprised why orthodox science has gone down the wrong path. But not only has the Society for Psychical Research done a huge U-turn now, having fought me for 20 years, they've had a change of hierarchy, you see, Jeff. And only a few weeks ago, I broadcast with the new president, Professor John Poynton, and I found out that we got on like a house on fire. I was expecting a tremendous battle when we turned up at the radio station, but he's as frustrated as I am about the one-sided propaganda that's been coming out.
Extraordinary. So rather than defeat the enemy, you just waited them out until they got some sensible leadership, and then you were able to make a rapprochement with them.
They've had a total new leadership, and they've come with us, and I've just had the backing of a second Nobel laureate for physics, the current head of the Cavendish Laboratory at Cambridge University. You don't get any higher than that, Jeff.
No, you
don't.
That's
where they split the atom at the Cavendish Laboratory at Cambridge University.
Right.
Rutherford
right.
did it by mathematics, as you know. The same as Oppenheimer when he discovered the atom bomb. They did it by mathematics.
Right.
And that's how they've discovered the so-called next world, by mathematics. But mathematics, backing up the experiments that we've already had, that you've just explained when Sir William Crookes carried them out, in 1874. So we've now got at last the mathematics to back up the experimental proof of survival.
Ron
There's
Pearson.
No way they'd be able to block it any longer.
Right.
Let me read what Professor Josephson's just written to me. A very nice conventional theory by a Princeton Institute physicist, worked out in much mathematical detail, has just come out, accounting for quantum reality as a phenomena emerging from a deeper level.
Huh.
It's quantum theory as an emergent phenomena by Stephen Adler, and it's published in the Cambridge University Press,
mm-hmm.
and he says, Professor Josephson says, in agreement with the approach you have been recommending. So there's no way they can block it for much longer, Jeff.
No, it doesn't sound like it. This is really an extraordinary development. I'm more than elated. I know how tired you get and how hard you've tried and the incredible odds you've been up against. And to have this happen now is really wonderful. Ron Pearson's mathematics, are they being examined now by more and more people, his theories?
Well, they're not going to be treated with the contempt they have been now. They're going to be looked at, and if there's any mistakes, then they'll be brought out in the open and discussed. But they've been suppressing him.
Right.
The Society for Psychical Research have also been censoring him. But they can't for much longer. Let's have all these theories out and take the best parts from every one of these theories. But they've got to be there because we know the experiments, right? We do all survive the death of our physical bodies. And it's a secular subject, not a religious subject.
Mm-hmm.
It'll stop all this religious hatred throughout the world when everybody finds that they're fighting over nothing whatsoever. There's no question of any book having divine authority. We've all been taken for a terrible ride. But you can understand why our ancestors made this terrible mistake all those years ago when they invented these religions, because they witnessed what I witnessed, Jeff, at one of these experiments, where I actually physically caught hold of people from the etheric world. And luckily, I'm living in the 21st century mm-hmm. and didn't mm-hmm. jump to the wrong conclusions like our ancestors did.
Well, the mechanisms of organized religion, of course, are beyond hideous when one looks at the totality of history and the kinds of things that have been done in the name of these various religious clubs and organizations.
Well, if we can explain to the American people why the Germans and French are not backing you like you think they should, it's because they've been to hell and back in the last century in the two
sure.
wars.
Yeah.
They know the implications of something like tearing into the Middle East with all guns blazing. It's the wrong thing to do.
Well, the God now being chased after, honored, saluted, and paid allegiance to is the God of money and oil, of course. And,
yeah.
Tough to come up with an organized religion to reflect those values, but that's pretty much what's happening. Now, you talked about ether. This has been, over in the States here, kind of a buzz cliche, a buzzword for years about the spiritual world and all the rest of it, it relegated pretty much to the so-called New Age community. Now, people like Ron Pearson and Crookes, of course, knew the ether to be something quite real, even though physics refused to acknowledge it. Now we're also getting more and more information about the so-called zero point, the energy point at which there is an infinite number of energy units, if you will. In fact, the entire universe is one total solid energy grid between planet, between galaxy, between it goes on forever.
Well,
so we're getting into new, entirely, I hate to use the term paradigms, but we are leaning into these new paradigms. We're either going to have to go there or we're going to be left behind and we'll be in the caves starting fire with flint chips to cook
yeah.
Animals with.
Well, when they did away with the ether, they realized now in orthodox science that it was a terrible mistake because they've brought it back under a new fancy name called the quantum energy of the vacuum.
Mm.
They realized that the invisible part of the universe is a mass of seething energy. But they've got to go a step further now and realize that that's the source of all energy.
Right.
Everything in our physical universe is coming from the invisible part of the universe.
It's some people look at it as it might be described as bleeding through more now than ever before for whatever reason. I choose to look at it as a continuous fabric, even though we can't see it. There are those who like to compartmentalize things and so forth. How do you look at it?
Well, I think it's very simple that when you read basics, subatomic physics, because I'm an art student, but I've read the layman's example of it. Mm-hmm. As everything's coming from the invisible, what orthodox science say is that a galaxy, for example, is turned on by a primordial gas. And all Pearson and the other scientists are now saying, right, well, that gas that's turning on these galaxies must mm-hmm. be coming from somewhere.
From some, of course.
It's coming from the invisible part of the universe, you see.
Well, and invisible in the sense that our current physics and our paradigm of math and powers of observation don't see it. But there are more and more, shall we say, perimeter area scientists who are doing work which are validating this all the time. What is the, we got to go to a break here, but what is the term they're using instead of ether now? What was it again?
The quantum energy of the vacuum. Which is only a fancy name for the ether.
That's funny.
It's all energy, you see.
That's very funny. The quantum energy of the vacuum. Interesting. They're not quite giving up vacuum yet, are they? But they're leaning in that direction. Be right back with Michael Roll, live from the UK, in just a couple of minutes. Visiting with our friend and colleague, Michael Roll, who has made, I believe, 9 visits to this program over the years, and all of them are wonderful. We'll maybe someday we'll be able to offer these as package programs with all Michael's programs in one set. It would be something that would be very valuable. Quantum energy of the vacuum. Well, folks, let's just call it the ether. It's all that emptiness out there, which is just teeming, loaded, overflowing, packed to the gills with energy of God only knows how many different kinds and substances and textures. We just don't know. It's a universe not of emptiness, but the antithesis of that. And from that comes all the things we see in the physical realm and many other things as well. So from the ether we come and to the ether we go. Michael, how do we phrase it here?
Well, I think just imagine that everything is coming from the invisible part of the universe. But what I'm hoping for, Jeff, is that all this great swathe of religionists in the USA will now come with us. Because what we're saying is that they're right. That, if you like, you can call the ether the spirit world if they want to, you see.
Mm-hmm.
That's the source of all energy. We're proving they're right. We do have a soul that separates from the dead physical body. The only people who are going to be in trouble over these scientific discoveries are the materialists, the ones who are adamant that when you're dead, you're dead. Mm-hmm. They're the ones in trouble. So I'm hoping to bring all the religionists over to our camp, and we can go forward together without this terrible hatred.
Well, that would be wonderful. Now, for years, of course, the organized religions opposed you viciously. And I'm wondering if you're going to be able to sit down and discuss with these people the paper that has been now printed.
Well, we're very successfully in England, but because we haven't got the born-again Christians, the evangelical.
Well, that was
not powerful at all in England.
Right, that was my
And all the hierarchy of the Church of England are coming with us on block. But, of course, it does make their doctrines and dogmas outdated. And of course, most of all, that a book has divine authority. They're going to have to start from scratch.
All right, they're going
nothing,
to have to.
There's nothing to stop them, of course, Jeff, of worshipping an imaginary god. You see, they want to. That's the big difference, isn't it, between me and the religionists? I refuse to recognize a big daddy behind it all, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they can. They can still carry on imagining a big daddy and worshipping a big daddy. So it's not really going to pull the rug completely from under them. But you can understand why the Orthodox Church has been fighting us, because it's the same as proving that what the sun was. People used to worship the sun until they found out what it was. And once the scientific proof came along what the sun was, people no longer worship the sun. And it's the same with all these religions. Now we've got the proof of survival. It will make an awful lot of the priests and mullahs and rabbis and holy men redundant. And that's a huge power block.
Whenever you challenge a power block with the loss of power, you're going to, of course, expect what you got for so long.
Now, well, that's exactly what Sir William Crookes did in 1874. He really threw a spanner right into the works of the religious power bloc, you see, where they're making all their money and their power is coming from them. They are the experts on this.
Right.
And suddenly the scientific proof of survival comes along, and they're in trouble.
I'm not sure you're going to make inroads into the American evangelical Christian community, which has taken a great deal of control in this country. They are, of course, Zionists in many ways, total allegiance to Zionist Israel and the programs therein, and it's a different kind of a story. I'm very interested in how this is going to play out. Let's talk a little bit more about William Crookes and give him, as we always try to do, his due. Many of our listeners may not know the name or may have heard the name Crookes and just kind of said to themselves, well, it's an interesting name, but who was the guy? Well, the guy was, again, the most masterfully gifted, brilliant genius, probably of his age. I don't know anybody who could surpass him. Do you?
He ended up as president of the Royal Society, and they don't come any higher than that in the scientific world.
So unsurpassed, and literally found the keys to the kingdom, and opened the door and walked in and said,
well, it was wonderful in 1870s, of course, when all the so-called spiritualism, which is a religion, was taking off in a big way. He came into it in 1870 to destroy it, you know, because the scientists were so angry at what was going on.
Well, the spirit,
people were believing all this mumbo-jumbo.
Well, it was
the... So the top scientists like Sir William Crookes has come in to look at it and expose it.
Look in and... We'll tell that story in a minute, Michael. Hold on, we have to break here. But that's a very important point. In Victorian England, the spiritualist movement basically was the number one form of entertainment that the rich and others pursued in their homes and their estates and so forth. It was big stuff, and Crookes, a scientist, went after it to discredit it. And we'll find out from Michael Roll what happened when he made that effort. And then what happened to him? Next, as we continue with Michael Roll. We are back, and when you go to Michael Roll's page, click on his name, you'll see right at the top a notice of tonight's program, but go down to the second paragraph and look for the name Sir William Crookes, and click on that, and you go to the paper written by Michael, which explains the whole thing. And it's a very fine paper. Has that paper been published at all around, Michael, besides your website and a few others who care about these things, the paper on Crookes?
No, but it's coming out slowly but surely, and it will get cracking in the Society for Psychical Research as things progress, I'm sure. But we were saying about Crookes coming into the life-after-death industry in 1870. He came across what's known as a materialization medium, very different to a mental medium who just give evidence of survival. But luckily, Crookes came across what's known as a materialization medium, where they give crushing scientific proof of survival. He came across a little girl, a 16-year-old girl called Florence Cook, who every time she went into a deep trance, somebody who once lived on Earth fully materialized and walked about the room, completely separate from the medium. This is what attracts the scientists. They're not having to do anything with the medium's mind. this is something that happens separate from the medium. And he carried out these repeatable experiments under laboratory conditions over and over again before he felt he could publish his findings.
Can you imagine? I just was trying to think of that over and over again. The mind, his life, his life's work, the essence of his being was predisposed to go 180 degrees diametrically opposed to what he was seeing with his own eyes. I mean, this must have just been, a lesser man would have cracked and run or just shut the door and never looked there again.
Well, he could see the implications for orthodox scientific teaching. It was the greatest revolution in the history of science. And luckily, he didn't play the establishment game and keep his mouth shut. He actually carried out these experiments. He invited his colleagues in, these top-qualified scientists, and they witnessed it. And then they published in the Quarterly Journal of Science. Now, they can't undo that. It's there for everybody to see. The Quarterly Journal of Science, he published the findings of his experiments, where he proved that we survived death because somebody was materializing from the invisible part of the universe, proving there are people there, that our ancestors mistook for angels, devils, gods, or God. But they're people exactly the same as we are. And then from that, the Society for Psychical Research was started in 1882, about 10 years after he witnessed this. And then ever since then, when he died in 1919, it's slowly been infiltrated, and we've got people taking the totally opposite view now to what Crookes said.
Right.
There's no question of us surviving death, that the whole thing was a hoax, that he was a fraud and a fake. You know, this is what the orthodox people have been saying until now. It's only just now that we're managing to bring the truth out about Sir William Crookes. And the other international teams of scientists, after Crookes did that, we had the French team with Professor Charles Richet, who carried out his own experiments with his own materialization medium in France. Then we had an Irish team, and then a German team with Professor Schrenck-Notzing, and then a Canadian team with Dr. Glenn Hamilton. So the experiments have been done, but the only reason it didn't break through, as you know, Jeff, now, is they didn't have the mathematical theory to back up such a revolutionary experiment.
Right.
But we certainly have now. We now got the mathematics we can write on the blackboard to show what these people are made of in the etheric world, and indeed what the etheric world is made of. What it's made, actually, the subatomic particles that make it up, you see.
You mean the world of quantum energy of the vacuum, don't
you? Yeah, they've got to be made of something, these people, when we die. Our soul that separates from the physical body has got to be made of something.
Well, who was it that did the experiment that weighed a body at the point of death and found out that the body was actually measurably, demonstrably, slightly lighter after the point of death came and went?
Yes, I've forgotten the scientist that did that.
Very interesting.
I asked Ronald Pearson about that. He thinks it's probably a magnetic thing that happened rather than a weight. Because there's no way they have any weight on our physical scales. It must be a sort of magnetic, perhaps, thing that affect the scales. Can't see a weight of a soul when you realize what subatomic particles, just how minute and small they are. They certainly wouldn't register on an
scale. But the living being with the soul installed in it somehow was commanding, conducting, influencing an electromagnetic issue, which when it was disconnected resulted in an appearing lighter weight of the actual physical body.
That's what appeared.
Fascinating. Subatomic. Now, for our listeners, imagine, if you will, an atom, okay? We're talking about subatomic. Not electrons, not protons. We're down below. We're way down there. Talk more about that, if you would, Michael. Subatomic.
That's right. What Ronald Pearson says, there's got to be primary particles way below the protons, neutrons, and electrons. It's protons, neutrons, and electrons that make up the whole of our physical universe with the periodic table in chemistry. That's a wonderful thing, that is, showing exactly what we're made of. So when you take on board that we're made of invisible stuff, it's no longer fantastic to have something invisible break away from the physical body.
Right.
But there's the physical body lying on the floor dead, still made of protons, neutrons, and electrons, but something that's broken away from it, it's got to be made of much finer subatomic particles.
The
ether. And
that's
what the scientists are coming up with the actual subatomic particles that make up the etheric world, you see.
How was it the that the psychical foundation people got so twisted and corrupted?
Well, because of the horrendous U-turn that Orthodox science would have to do, having been all these years slating, tearing into Sir William Crookes and anybody who dared to say we survived death, because don't forget, 1905, Einstein did away with the idea of the spirit world and survival after death, and the whole of Orthodox science went on block with him. That's across every discipline, including psychology and philosophy. They all went down that route. So they've been fighting to push their corner all these years. And they found their great allies, of course, are the religionists, because the religionists don't want the proof to come out, because they will lose their monopoly on the life-after-death industry. So we had those two huge power blocks fighting us for the whole of last century. And it's only now, at the turn of the 21st century, that we've just started to break through against this power block. And we're getting some very powerful scientists coming with us. And there's no way they're going to undo it now because of the Internet. It's only because of the Internet that we've really managed to break through, because we haven't had access to mainstream media or educational outlets. It's been blocked to us by the power block.
Indeed. All right, let's take our break here. Come right back with Michael Roll, live from England, in just a couple minutes. Sir William Crookes, what an amazing man he was. And when you pull that page up, the article that Michael has written, you can look on the left-hand margin and find some nice links to explore as well. The researches of Sir William Crookes, the last of Katie King, Miss Florence Cook's mediumship. You heard Michael mention her. Tons of information out there, and we'll be right back. Okay, Jeff Russ and Michael Roll, and we're talking about the work of Sir William Crookes and the fact of life everlasting. Certainly life after death, at least. We'll find out about the everlasting part maybe someday. The big story that I would think this would make amongst the reincarnationist community would be formidable. Have they been in touch with this? I mean, this is exactly what they would seemingly, with the math and the science, want to embrace and champion.
Well, yes, I must admit I haven't come across reincarnation in any of my studies. But just because I haven't come across it doesn't mean to say that they're wrong and I'm right.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, I would think this would appeal to them.
Pardon?
I would think this would be appealing to them, at least
to a
significant degree.
Well, certainly it proves to survive death. The reincarnation is about coming back here after you've died, isn't it? And I've never come across that in any of my studies.
Right.
Every time I speak to people in the etheric world, they don't seem to know anything about having to come back to Earth. But that's all I can say about that. And what we're trying to get through to everybody, especially those who have lost loved ones, and we're all going to die anyway, the main thing is we've got somewhere to go, something to look forward to. But coming back again is another ball game, isn't it, really?
It is. But I would think that these people who in these entire cultures and religions that accept this, apparently Christianity used to at one point, maybe they were trying to say what your science is finding out. I don't know. But the point is, I would think that these people would be very interested in your work, among other groups.
Oh, I'm sure, yes. But it's all on the website, as you say there. And also the wonderful article by Sir Oliver Lodge, who invented radio. He's been written out of our history books because he dared to say we survived death and that the whole thing's to do with subatomic physics. Even though he invented radio, he's
another,
been conveniently written out of our history books.
Another persecuted genius, another erased...
And my webmaster, Paul Reed, came across to Oxford University and took a photograph of the plaque on the wall at Oxford University. It's on my website there, the actual photograph that Paul Reed took. And it proves that Sir Oliver Lodge actually was the first one to send a radio message 1 year before anybody ever heard of Marconi. Marconi just took hold of Sir Oliver Lodge's wonderful invention and extended it to the what it is now, thanks to Marconi doing that work. But it wasn't Marconi who invented the radio, it was Sir Oliver Lodge. And there's that plaque in Oxford University, proving the very spot where he sent the message.
Fascinating. Is in all your work, Michael, have you come across any direct ties or threads to Nikola Tesla and your work and Ron Pearson's work?
Oh, no, I expect Ron has. This is on the scientific side. As you know, I just translate all this difficult stuff into simple layman's language. I don't go into the scientific side. I just put all these whiz kids onto Ron Pearson and Josephson so they can all go down that field. But it's a bit beyond me. Don't forget, I'm an art student, Jeff. I'm struggling with the science. But once you get beyond the tables, I'm in trouble.
Okay, so with respect to organized religions accepting your paper and beginning to look at this logically and honestly and fairly, what are some of the examples you can point to and look to right now?
Well, with organized religion?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, a pretty wonderful thing happened in about 1982 when I wrote my first pamphlet, which is on my website, The Suppression of Knowledge. I sent it to the head of religious broadcasting in Great Britain, and he was based in my hometown here, Bristol, and he requested a meeting. And we had a very interesting meeting, and he says, you ought to see the rubbish that I have to put out every day on this religious broadcasting. And he didn't believe a word of what he was broadcasting. I said, well, what are you going to do about it? He said, well, what I'll do from this meeting, he says, I'll try and change the church from within to follow Jesus, you know, the one wonderful ethics, as you sow, so you will reap, and do unto others as you would have others do unto you, rather than sort of resting in peace, waiting for judgment day and all this, which he didn't believe in. And he must have done just that, Jeff, because within a few weeks of our meeting, he was kicked upstairs. He was taken out of religious broadcasting and made into a bishop.
Interesting.
So they're all coming with us. None of our Episcopalians here in England believe what they're teaching anymore. It's only the tiny handful of evangelicals who actually go that every word in the Bible is the word of God, and they believe on all these doctrines and dogmas. The intellectuals and academics haven't believed it for over 100 years. So the whole thing's blowing up, and they're all going to come with us, the intellectuals and academics. Make no mistake about that. I can tell by the feedback I'm getting from the church.
You have also a feature on your site, the Campaign for Philosophical Freedom. Why were Queen Victoria's diaries destroyed and then rewritten? It's an amazing news story in and of itself.
Well, yes, because Queen Victoria, at the time of Sir William Crookes, and of course all the royal family knew that what Sir William Crookes was doing was correct, and they looked into it in great detail. And Queen Victoria was absolutely devastated when she lost her husband, Prince Albert, and she ordered the top medium in the country to come into Buckingham Palace.
Now you see, that's how big mediumship was back then.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, but as she's the queen, she can give an order and the top medium arrives, a chap called John Lees. And he gave her staggering proof that her husband, Prince Albert, was still alive on a mental level, not materializations, on a mental level. And she says, right, she said, you've got to pack up everything and move into the palace with me here so I can speak to my husband every day, you see.
Wow.
And he said, well, they're telling me from the etheric world that I haven't got to do that because on your staff you have a first-class medium called John Brown. Now, if you contact your servant, John Brown, you'll find that he's even better than I am, he reckons. Which she did, of course. She got hold of John Brown and found that he was a brilliant medium. And this is what happened. Very often she'd lock herself away in a room with John Brown and all the rumors started spreading that she was having an affair with her gilly.
Right.
Which is absolute rubbish. She was only using him to contact her dead husband. And, of course, this was all reported in her diaries. And it wasn't until I was watching television that I found out what had happened to those diaries. The Queen was showing some of our politicians around Buckingham Palace, which was just about to be open to the public, and Neil Kinnock said to the Queen, isn't it wonderful to see Queen Victoria's diaries, and all in her own handwriting? And the Queen herself said live on television, oh no, Mr. Kinnock, she said all her diaries were destroyed because she'd upset the establishment. These diaries here were rewritten by Lady somebody or other. So the Queen herself told that story of how her diaries were destroyed because she'd recorded all her meetings with John Brown and how John Brown was able to contact
Can you imagine the impact had those diaries survived?
Yeah, wow. Especially as our Queen is head of the Catholic Church in England, you see.
Right. Hey, she was Queen for how long?
Queen Victoria was
60
years, wasn't she? Yeah.
I can't remember. It's a
yeah,
long
about 60
time.
Years, I think she was Queen.
Extraordinary
anyway,
woman.
The royal family know about it. And of course, the Queen Mother was in touch with me via her lady in waiting right up until when she died, because she passed on all this information to Prince Charles and the whole royal family.
See, now, that's another amazing part of your life and your efforts. The Queen Mother was in touch with you. And
yeah, through her...
of course, her staff, yes.
I've got the letters that I've kept from Clarence House where she lived.
Well, she, it is said that she was eminently wise, extraordinarily enlightened, and just a remarkable woman.
She was indeed, and she'd gone down that path that Sir William Crookes took, you see, but she had to keep quiet about it, with her daughter being head of the Catholic Church in England.
Right.
But it's all coming out now. They won't be able to block it any longer. As you say, it's all on my website, the whole thing there. And when people have the proof of survival, Jeff, there's no way they're going to go back to resting in peace in the ground waiting for Judgment Day. There's no way they're going to follow Orthodox scientists who start from the false base.
It won't sell.
When you're dead, you're dead. It's going to be the biggest revolution in scientific history. When the masses find this out, they'll just force them aside. And those evangelicals you were talking about in America will be sidelined. They'll be sidelined just as comprehensively as fully paid-up members of the Flat Earth Society. They can't... everybody wants to be on the winning side, don't they, Jeff?
Oh, no, you bet.
They're going to come with us, aren't they? They're not going to go with the losers.
Well, they're going to come with us because, if nothing else, they're greedy and they want more.
That's right.
We've got that working for us anyway.
Yeah. But we have a word of warning here. Watch out what sort of money you pay to mediums. There are an awful lot of rip-off merchants there.
Oh, tremendous. It's big business. Every city, every town in America, you can drive through the town and you'll see shingles hung out. Palm reading, psychic readings,
yeah,
tarot
terrible,
card
careful.
Reading, whatever.
Well, why not do what... If you've got a recommendation, go on recommendations like you do for plumbers or electricians. And when I go to them, I've never paid any money to a medium, but I'd be quite prepared to if one asked me to, but I wouldn't pay them unless they had made contact with my loved ones. Then I feel I wouldn't mind paying £20 or
whatever.
$30, you know,
sure.
For something that's really given me peace of mind, but only pay them if they actually come up with the goods. Why not work on that system?
Of course. Is it something, Michael, that that we as babies, infants, and children have access to far more than most people realize, and of course, society being what it is, and parenting and other dogma-based organizations, that is suppressed in children, that linkage.
Oh, yes, they get it. In the past, they got it beaten out of them when the kids
And worse. There are unlimited number of cases, eyewitnesses and so forth, of children explaining how they've been able to see someone in the room, and once a child does that and says, "Oh no, mommy, I see Aunt Mary over there."
Yeah.
Once that child finds out that is off limits, they usually shut up, never talk about it again, and turn away from that part of their being, which is really their birthright to develop.
But we have to face the fact there are some very wonderful mediums who have trouble sometimes telling etheric people from physical people. They're so good. They can see and hear and sense people.
That's interesting. But
I spoke to a medium once. He played ball with an etheric person, and the ball kept coming backwards and forwards across the room.
Gee, that'd be something to see. All right, back in a couple minutes with Michael Roll. As we continue our conversation, we're going to talk about the various kinds of mediums and what they can and can't do, and why so many of them have kept, shall we say, a very, very low profile. Life after death.